Smith back to throw. Has time. Over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right, needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5, touchdown Giants, 97 yards.
Now here's your host, John Schmell.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. Good morning, everybody. I am John Schmell with you on Big Blue Kickoff Live, our daily morning Giants call and talk show. 9:30 to 10:30 every weekday morning here on Giants.com. Hope everyone's doing well as free agency inches closer. Teams all around the NFL are starting to make moves to get under the salary cap and prepare themselves for that free agency period. You can start negotiating on March 9th. Free agency begins on March 11th. I think that 3-day period in there. And the Giants so far are very quiet, not doing a whole lot. And I get the sense, now this is just a sense, that Giant fans are becoming a little impatient. Giant fans are becoming a little anxious. Giant fans are wondering what the heck's going on. Why don't we have news of renegotiation? Why don't we have somebody getting re-signed? Why is anybody getting cut? All these teams are doing stuff. Why aren't the Giants? Well, the Giants preach patience. And that is what I'm going to preach to open the show this morning. Now, this isn't to say the Giants don't need to do a lot. They need to have a very busy, productive, and successful free agency period and draft. As we've spoken a lot over the course of this offseason, this is the most important free agency and offseason year the Giants will have in a very long time. It's the most important they've had in probably 10 years since they got Eli Manning. This is a true retooling. I'm not going to call it a rebuild because you still have big-time pieces here like Eli Manning, like Victor Cruz. But this is a legitimate retooling. You're going to have a roster that probably looks 40% different next year than it looked this past year. And the Giants are going to have to do a lot of work. But that doesn't mean that they're going to be hasty. That doesn't mean that they're going to make splashes with 3 or 4 top-tier free agents at the start of the free agency period on March 11th. Because that's not what makes teams good in the NFL. Perfect example. Yesterday we found out Courtland Finnegan got released by the St. Louis Rams. 2 years ago, Courtland Finnegan was the number one cornerback on the free agent market, or, you know, 1, 2, or 3. He got signed in the first few days of free agency. Jeff Fisher, his former coach in Tennessee, brought him over to St. Louis. Became the highest paid corner in football. 2 years later, he's cut. And how have the Rams done last, by the way, in the last 2 seasons? Not too good. Free agency is the realm of overpaying. And sometimes it's worth overpaying for somebody. If the guy fits your team, it fits a need, and it makes your team better, you know what? It's worth it. It makes sense. Case in point, Antrell Roll. To a lesser extent, Chris Canty, Michael Boley helped the Giants win a Super Bowl. Sometimes it's worth it, but you have to pick your spots. With the Giants' cap situation the way it is, once they renegotiate Snead and do, you know, little stuff elsewhere, they'll probably have around $25 million to spend, maybe upwards of 30, depending on what else you do with some of these guys. The Giants have about 20 to 25 roster spots they're going to have to fill in the draft and free agency. You cannot give out 3 monster deals because the rest of your team and your depth is going to be bad. And that's what hurt the Giants last year. Chris Snead injured, David Boss injured. No depth on the offensive line. Defensively, they had issues with depth in the secondary. Linebacker. So you got to spread this money out. And what I'm starting to see from some anxious Giant fans you know, on the forums, on Twitter. Whenever somebody gets released, the Giants, oh, you got to sign this guy. About 3.5 seconds after Brandon Browner's suspension came down yesterday for 4 games next year, I got tweets, Giants got to sign Brandon Browner. Well, hold on, do you? Seriously. Let's take a look at this for a second. Did the Seahawks defense get any worse when Browner went out last year? Nope. He got replaced with a rookie 6th-round pick. Did they get any worse? No. So, yeah, I get he's this big guy. He's 6'4", he's 230, that's great. But is he a difference-making corner if he can get replaced by a 6th-round rookie? Difference maker? Big money guy? Not to mention the fact that he's been suspended again, this time for 4 games. And if he gets into trouble again, you're looking at a season. Not to mention the fact, how do you know how his play was affected or improved by using illegal performance-enhancing drugs? Which he's now been accused of doing not once, but twice. So now that he gets his big contract and he can't use the PEDs again, how do you know he's even going to be the same player? So why would you go out there and get Brandon Browner? Look, a team will take a shot at him. Maybe he's going to be a good player, but I think there's a lot of risks. There are better guys with better value that he can go after. The Sam Shields of the world. I had somebody else ask me about Champ Bailey, who the Broncos are expecting to let go. Champ Bailey? He's nowhere near the player he used to be. He's a safety now, first and foremost. The one spot the Giants don't need any help is at safety. Literally, the one position on the entire team where the Giants do not need more players is at safety. It's the only spot where they don't need new guys is safety. And you're not putting Champ Bailey back at corner. So it was 40. There aren't 40-year-old corners in the league. So, guys, just because a player becomes available and he's a name that you recognize, and at one point he was a good NFL player, doesn't mean he's a good fit for the Giants now. Because of age, injury, money. And money being number one. The key isn't always to make the splash or get the guy that's number one on everyone's free agency lists. In fact, I would prefer you get a guy that you believe is a top three player at the position, but everybody else is sleeping on the guy. So you get a top-tier talent at a lower price. Jeff Schwartz, the linebacker from the Chiefs, I think is a guy that falls into that category. You can get him at a low number, but he has the chance of giving you top-notch production. And that's why they haven't come to a decision on John Beeson yet. John Beeson would be here if the Giants were willing to give him exactly what he wanted. But guess what? The Giants want to get him at a price that works well for the Giants. Because if you spend too much money on John Beeson, maybe you can't go out there and bring in an Evan Dietrich Smith. Maybe you can't go out there and bring in a top cornerback to play across from Prince. Maybe you can't go out there and bring in one of the better tight ends on the free agent market. By making those types of decisions, you limit what you can do elsewhere. So before we get to your calls at 201-939-4513, I just want to preach patience. I want to preach being logical. I want to preach prudence in these free agent signings. It's not always the name. It's not always the size of the contract. It's fit. It's talent. It's value. And that's the word you got to zero in on there, folks. Value. The Giants have limited resources, whether it's the draft, which they have their 7 picks, or if it's free agency where they have $30 million. You want to get as much talent out of that money and those picks as you can. And that doesn't always mean signing the number one guy at that position. That's all I'm saying. So you're going to have to be patient. You've seen Jerry Reese operate before. That's how he operates. You guys know this. And the Giants have had success operating like that before. You remember 2011. That worked out well. Now the last couple years, maybe not so good. The Giants put themselves, and by the way, you want to know why the Giants haven't had a lot of cap space the last 2 years? Because they went out and spent on guys like David Boss, like Chris Canty, like Anshar Roll, like Michael Boley. So those signings eventually catch up to you if you're paying free agents big-time money. It'll limit your cap space down the road from re-signing a Prince of Mukamara, from re-signing a Jason Pierre-Paul. So you have to be patient and prudent with the type of money you throw around because you could hurt yourself down the road. Just keep that in mind here as you see more guys hit the market. I know everyone's going to be looking at the wire over the weekend, waiting for more guys to get cut loose. When we show up next Monday, it will be March 9th. It'll be March 10th. And then on Tuesday, it'll be the 11th. And people are going to be freaking out. It's going to start getting fun. But remember, there are a lot of available guys out there, and there's a lot of money to go around. The market this year is going to be inflated because the salary cap went up and every team has more money to spend. So the key is to find value, and that's what Jerry Reese is going to do. 201-939-4513. Let's go to our phones and say hello to Joe in Pennsylvania first. He's been holding the longest. Joe, good morning. How are you?
Oh, good, John, there. Yeah, I agree what you're saying there, patience there. I do see and I hear everybody talking about the receivers that they're, you know, I heard one comment saying on the sports station there that they're going to be 13 receivers possibly going in the first three rounds, and eight of them are worthy of first-round talent. So, and I do believe if you wait on these receivers here, like, later here, even after the draft and stuff, all of them ain't going to be taken, and you would get a bargain on them, and the same with cornerback.
Yeah, I'm not sure there are eight first-round talents. I mean, you can make the argument that there's four or five, but I think it's fair to say there are probably around 10 guys that could get taken in the second, in the first and second round together. So you're right, it's a very deep wide receiver draft.
And I heard there's lots of cornerbacks I keep seeing there that's going to be bargain prices here later on that you're going to get that's for free agency. But my concern is I heard you talking the other day about the Eagles with all their signings
yeah.
and all their weapons.
Mm-hmm.
And you left one guy out. I keep hearing from them that they're going to, either first or second round, they're going to sign another weapon. You know what I mean? Another receiver. So they're definitely looking for it. And that's
now, honestly, I'm not sure. Do you really think the Eagles are going to go with another offensive player early in the draft after they brought back Mackle and they have two excellent tight ends? You have Riley Cooper they just paid money to. DeSean Jackson's there.
I
think they would try to improve their defense, wouldn't you?
Yeah, they're going to do that through free agency.
Okay.
They got the bucks. They're going to get it. They're going to get a safety right off the bat, and that they'll be fine. And the same with Dallas. I hear the Dallas. They're taking all their men and having them rework their contracts. Romo, everybody down to the water boy. They have everybody. You check, take it in, and they're after their wearer. He's the last one they're after.
Yeah, right now the Cowboys are about at the salary cap. They're about at the cap number right now. If they, you know, dump Phil Costa, they'll probably get underneath. If they figure out a way to get Ware's salary down, they could free up a little bit of money. But I don't see the Cowboys being big players in free agency here. They just don't have the room in the cap space to do it.
My one question there is to you, and I keep coming back to this, John. Who could we take that could be an impact player to get us wins? Who would you think in what position at first?
In the draft you're talking about?
Yes.
Well, I mean, I think it's a little early to tell. It depends what you do in free agency, Joe. I mean,
like I talked before, I say we're going to pick up a couple offensive linemen, or we can get a couple and add a couple through the draft. But I'm just looking if we come to that 12th pick and that cornerback sitting there with all these weapons these other teams have. Our defense kept us in the games last year and got us them wins. And I'm just saying if that Gilbert's there, I think he's a Patrick Peterson, that we should definitely take him, and he would keep us in all these games until our offense comes around, our offensive line and stuff like that.
Well, I would be very leery calling anybody the next Patrick Peterson. We heard that about Morris Claiborne 2 years ago when the Cowboys picked him, and that didn't work out so well in the first 2 years of his career. But I will say if you want to pick the guy that's going to impact your team the most, it'll be either an offensive lineman, it'll be a corner like you mentioned, or it'll be one of the skill position guys. It'll be either a wide receiver or a tight end. I think that's where you're going to get the most immediate bang for your buck in that spot at number 12.
Well, I think you left one guy out, too. If we could get another pass rusher. I think they always, you know, they work hand in hand the way I'm concerned.
Yeah, Joe, unfortunately, there aren't really any pure pass rushers that are going to be around at 12. You know, Coney Ealy, I think that's a little early for him. I don't think the Giants are going to draft a defensive tackle that early, an Aaron Donald or a Timmy Jernigan. And, you know, Anthony Barr is a guy that could be there, but he's more of a 3-4 outside linebacker than a 4-3 defensive end. So I'm not sure that you're going to find a pass rusher in the first round, but I do believe there are some guys that can get after the quarterback that you can get around number two.
I agree there too. So, but like I said, do you know, besides Gilbert, is that they were mentioning another cornerback. Is he up there rated as high, you know, close to him? Is there another cornerback?
Yeah, Darquez Dennard is the second guy. He's out of Michigan State. And frankly, depending on who you talk to, some people think Dennard's actually a better potential prospect than Gilbert. Gilbert ran a better 40 at the combine. I like him a little bit more, but honestly, I don't think you can go wrong with either guy.
But do you think either one of them guys come in that they could start right away, like a Patrick Peterson, or you think they'd take a year or two like Prince Amore? He took, you know, at least, you know, it took him a little while with his injuries and stuff. And I think now he's just about a shutdown corner.
Well, Joe, yeah, I wouldn't quite call him a shutdown corner yet. I call him a very good corner. But I think if whoever the Giants draft at 12, and corner, frankly, whatever position you draft somebody there at, if they stay healthy and they have a full offseason and a full training camp and they play all the preseason games and they're not battling anything, they should be starters in week one when you're picking 12th in the draft. So barring any injuries, yes, you should get a starter, an impact player there at number 12. And you know what? Considering all this team's holes, Joe, you better, or you're going to be in a little bit of trouble.
Okay, John, thank you very much.
Great. Thanks as always, Joe. Appreciate it, buddy. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Ernest in Connecticut. Ernest, what's going on, pal?
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Doing well, Ernest. How you doing?
All righty. There's a couple of things that I'm concerned about with the Giants, and I heard everything what you're saying about the free agency and the draft, but there's one thing that's concerning me, and that's the longer that they take to bring the team together, it's going to take that much longer for the cohesiveness. And I think that could hurt them in the long run.
Yeah, but Ernest, you know, remember, the players can't even come and report and step foot in the building and meet with coaches until April 18th. So they have a month and 2 weeks before the players are even allowed to show up.
Okay. All right. Well, I understand that, and I'm also worried about them not really releasing a lot of the players that they know that they're going to release to find out where the salary cap is going to be. I don't know why they're hanging on to some of these players.
Such as?
They know they're gonna be. Well, I'm kind of thinking that they would probably, well, Myers is gone, Brandon Myers. Who else?
So who are you worried about, Ernest? Who are you worried that's still on this roster?
Myers,
but he's not. He's not. He's a free agent.
He's a free agent as of right now.
Hakeem Nicks, he will be. Yes, he is going to be a free agent when the free agency period starts on March 9th.
Okay, and there's another thing. Will they? Are they going to keep? Do you think that they will keep Hillis? I hope that they do. But do you think they'll?
I think if they do, he'll be like the fourth guy in, and he'll have to compete for a stop. They're not going to hand anything to him.
Okay, and back to my friend David Wilson. I've been reading things about them bringing in Tate from Texas and these different people because they want to have a much more solid backfield. But if you bring in a guy like that, now this is all rumors. If you bring in a guy like that, you know you're going to have to pay him quite a bit of money. So that means that Wilson, that means he's going to probably be out.
No, I don't think that means David Wilson's going to be out. But at this point, Ernest, you can't say going into next season that we're going to hand the keys to the car to David Wilson and say you're getting 20 carries a game. You know, he just hasn't proven, and coming off of the neck injury, which was career-threatening, he just had neck surgery, for goodness sakes. I mean, you have to bring in somebody that can carry the load in case David Wilson's not back, and there's no sure thing that he's going to be back even for the start of training camp, let alone the start of the regular season.
Well, yeah, well, that's true. I mean, but, you know, everything that I've been hearing and I've been reading, they said that he's ahead of schedule right now, and he's doing very, very well. That's not contact, but I'm saying that
it's very early. It's very early, Ernest. It's way too early to tell. This guy's not even going to put a set of pads on until at the earliest August.
You don't think it'll – no?
He will not be in OTAs. He will not be in minicamp. If he is, I will be the most surprised person on this planet. I will take my mea culpa for it. But, look, they're going to take their time with this thing, Ernest. This is a very serious surgery for a guy that's going to take contact every time he touches the football. They're going to take their time. And based on what Jerry Reese and Tom Coughlin said after the season was over and at the combine, they'll be lucky if he's ready for the start of training camp.
Okay, and all right, and then another thing with Reese, I've lost a lot of confidence in Jerry Reese. I think that he's gotten a pass the past couple of years, and I think that Gil Bright and other people have taken the fall for a lot of things that he didn't do. I can't see them bringing in a Beeson for a seventh round pick, and then you let him go. Now you lose the pick, and if you let Beeson go, then you lose him. I can't see the sense in that.
And that's why they're trying to bring Beeson back.
You know.
Thank you for the call, Ernest.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate it, man. Have a good one. All right, I think I made some improvements there, right, folks? You know, last time, me and Ernest, that was two times ago, me and Ernest went out a little bit. Time I stayed mellow. Stayed mellow. 201-939. 4513. And look, the Giants are trying to bring John Beeson back. They're just trying to do it at the right cost. And no, they don't want to give up a draft pick for nothing, obviously. But there you have it. 201-939-4513. Let's go back to our phones and say what's up to Andrew in Stanhope, New Jersey. Andrew, what's going on? Are you solo today, or do you have Andrew Sr. with you, too?
I'm with Andrew Sr., but he said he doesn't have any prepared statements.
Okay.
But maybe he'll think of something. But, you're mellow, that's good. I'm not going to get you riled up. Before I talk about the offensive line, I just wanted to say I read linebacker from the Ravens. I think his name Jamal McClain.
Jameel McClain, yes. He did not have the best year in the world last year. In fact, he struggled, and that's one of the reasons the Ravens let him go and cut him, which is why he's allowed to visit teams right now. The rumors are he's going to be visiting with the Giants today. Look, he's a body. I wouldn't get too excited. I don't think he's a difference maker by any means. Could he be a guy that could help on the strong side and maybe give you a little something? Sure, but, you know, I wouldn't get too excited.
Do you think with Snee appearing to be healthy, Booth, that the Giants may not sign a free agent guard, you know, or not a big money free agent offensive guard, and they may... They may draft one and go with Snee and Booth. That's my question. And also, I know people are down on the idea, but why don't they ever rotate offensive linemen? Like, if you have a good guard or if you have someone that you think could come in for a series or two at offensive tackle, a right tackle maybe, you know, and give those guys a breather, especially the older guys like Snee. But just wanted to see your take on the offensive guards, and if you think they're going to go free agency, or are they going to go with Booth and Snead? And I'll put my dad on.
Andrew,
hello.
Andrew Senior, how's it going, buddy?
Oh, fine. Listen. Philly signed Peters, their tackle. They signed their center. They signed their guard. What the heck are the Giants waiting for?
Well, Andrew, they're waiting to bring guys back at the right price. And here's the difference, and I talked about this a couple days ago. The Eagles last year had a good year. The Eagles in the second half of the year had an excellent offense, so they're pretty comfortable bringing back their own players. The issue the Giants have this year is that their offense last year stunk. It was terrible. It was broken, to quote the Giants owner John Mara. So they don't want to bring back all their own guys on offense because they didn't get the job done last year. So they have to wait for free agency to start to get guys that were on other teams last year. The Eagles just re-signed their own players.
There are certain guys, some of their defensive people. What's his name?
John Beeson, Justin Tuck.
No, the guy in the tackle guy.
Oh, Linval Joseph?
Yeah, come on. You don't want to lose him.
Well, I don't think Linval Joseph.
Sign the guy. Give him big bucks.
Well, do you want to give Linval Joseph big bucks and then you can't spend money on offense to get the offense better? You're going to run out of cash, Andrew Senior.
I know, but they got $10 million more this year. Did you know that?
Yeah, every team is $10 million more, though, because they increased the cap. For a second, put yourself in Linval Joseph's shoes, Andrew Senior. Here's how he's looking at this. I'm a young guy. This is my first contract. I'm 26 years old. I've had a very solid NFL career. I'm heading out here in free agency, and each NFL team was just handed a $10 million check and said, you can spend this on anything you want. If I'm Linval Joseph, you know what I'm thinking? I'm going to get myself some of that $10 million. I'm going to get paid. So he wants to wait and see what he gets in free agency before he signs with the Giants so he can maximize his dollar amount. And frankly, I can't blame him. I do the same exact thing.
I agree with you on that. But I didn't hear of any signings. I mean, I'm sure there's some people they want to give a buck to and move on. Thank you for taking our call.
Thank you, Andrew Senior. Thank you, Andrew Jr. I will reference what I said at the start of the show, is that you have to be patient. You have to be prudent here. All right? The Giants want to change this roster, not bring back everybody from the team last year. And you can't bring in guys from other teams yet. It's the rules. All right? So, relax. It's all good. To Andrew Jr.'s question about the offensive line, will you address it in free agency or the draft? Well, I think they're going to address it in both, to be quite honest with you. I think they will. Here's my thing. I believe the Giants will add an offensive lineman in the first three rounds of the draft. On day one or day two, you will see the Giants draft an offensive lineman. Now, depending on what they do in free agency, I think that could affect in what round they select that offensive lineman. But if they decide that to keep Snee and Boss, and that makes them change their mind as to the desperate need to bring in new offensive linemen to get better, I think they're making a huge mistake. And I don't believe that's something Jerry Reese is going to do. He understands the issues last year, and the organization's got to understand the fact that as great as Chris Snee has been, and I'd love to bring him back at a low dollar amount and give him a chance to compete and be a good player, and as good as David Boss has been, their injury histories make them huge risks, and you can't count on them. So you have to add people in the draft and free agency in case those guys can't go. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Shakes in Baltimore, Maryland. Shakes, what's going on, pal?
Not much, man. What's going on, man?
Shakes, are you keeping it cool down there, man?
I'm hanging in there. I'm just a little upset about the Knicks thing, because just every day that goes by, it clicks to me that he's not coming back. He's not. But
you know, it's funny, Shakes. I was reading Peter King yesterday, and he called Akeem Nix's contract this offseason the toughest one to predict what he's going to get in probably the last 8 to 10 years in the NFL. So I think a lot of people are wondering how much he's going to get on the open market. And frankly, I'm not sure either, but I'm still convinced that it's going to be more than what the Giants are going to be able to afford.
Yeah, I'm getting that vibe. I'm getting that vibe, and it's tough, but if it happens, we have to move on. I mean, I'm pretty sure that we're going to bring in somebody, because I was a big Shockey and Burris fan. Yes, big Shockey and Burris fan. And when Burris did that, I don't even want to talk about it. But I don't talk about it since that day. I don't even mention that with me. But after that, we was looking for a wide receiver, and Akeem Nix came along. But that's my point is, you know, when we do lose a big guy, we usually try to replace them. And Jerry Reese, and I'll give him props for that. He has done that for the most part.
Oh, Shakes, by the way, I'm going to break some news to you on the air here. And I figure you're the perfect guy to do it with, considering the position this news is regarding. According to Jason LaConfora, the Colts have come to a contract agreement with DeQuell Jackson for 4 years and $22 million with $11 million guaranteed.
You know what? That's a good fit. That's a good fit. He fits that system. He's a Colt type player. I like DeQuell. You know, he played for the Terps and everything, so I've seen him in college. I always liked DeQuell, but I just don't see him in giant blue.
And you know what? Shakes, I bet you that's going to be the neighborhood. I think Beeson will probably sign for a little bit less than that, but I think that will be the general neighborhood. Probably a little less actual money, a little less guaranteed money too, but I think that'll be the neighborhood in which the Giants will have to bring back John Beeson.
And that's a good contract for Beeson. That's fair on both sides. That's fair on both sides. I'm kind of weird. Don't mind me, okay? But sometimes I get like dreams and visions, and for some odd reason, I had a dream that Sammy Watkins was a Giant. I don't know. I like him, but I like Gilbert way more. But for some odd reason, I see Watkins in blue.
Shakes the Oracle. The soothsayer.
I know, right? Call me the new Cleo.
Peering into the future.
Gotta bring in some talent in the draft. We gotta bring in, but I want to bring in a guard in free agency and a center in free agency. I want experienced guys. I don't really want guys coming out the draft to start. I'm just not too cute. Kind on that, it just don't sit well with me that a rookie is going to protect my $100 million quarterback. It just don't click.
I'm with you, Shakes. I think you need to bring in two veterans to play inside. If you want to add another rookie in the draft, that's fine. But I think you need to add two veterans in free agency. I'm with you.
Exactly. Yeah, and maybe bring in like a guard in the third or fourth round. You know what I mean? This draft is very deep. So, guards are going to be pushed down. Guards that was valued in other drafts are going to be pushed down to, like, later rounds because there's so much talent in this draft, so much talent. Wide receiver, cornerback, it's just so much talent. Quarterbacks, everything. So linemen are going to be pushed down. We're going to get a very good lineman in the third or fourth round. So, that's the route we should go, but we got to go skill positions in the first two. Corner and wide receiver is where I'm going. Or linebacker, you know that.
Yeah.
Or linebacker.
Thanks for the call, Shane.
Right, thanks for taking part of my call, man. Thank you.
Appreciate it, man. And look, I could see the Giants taking a guard in round two. If you have a guy that you think is going to be a starter there, a guard for you for 10 years, and you pick him in the second round, I'm fine with that. Do you think anybody has any regrets about taking Chris Knee in the second round back in the day? And he's been starting here since? I don't think so. That's how I look at it. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Daryl down in Delaware, a first-time caller. Daryl, what's going on, pal?
What's going on, guys?
How are you?
All right. I know everybody's talking about free agency and who we're going to get in the draft and everything.
Yeah.
But what about Jay Gruden, man? He's coming into our division. Like, do you think that the Redskins are about to be a team that we're going to have to worry about again?
Yeah, you know what? I don't think Jay Gruden is a huge worry. I mean, he didn't run a dynamic offense in Cincinnati. Now, you can make the argument the offense wasn't dynamic because of the quarterback, not because of the offensive coordinator, and I understand that argument. But the Redskins had an excellent offensive coach last year in Mike Shanahan. I think the success of the Redskins next year will have much more to do with the health progress shown by Robert Griffin III and also his ability to turn himself into a more efficient and accurate pocket passer than it has to do with John Gruden. Jay Gruden, excuse me. I think his development is a lot more important. Obviously, Jay Gruden's going to affect that development. Maybe he'll help him in that regard, just like he kind of helped Andy Dalton come along as a rookie. I get that. But to me, Jay Gruden's not a game-changing type of coach. That's just me.
Yeah, I know plenty of Redskins fans, and all of them say the same thing. Like, they're not like crazy about this whole pickup. Like, they're not thinking that their team's going to turn around, but I mean, I'm interested to see what happens. Like, anything could happen, you know?
No, look, I'm with you, and I think the Redskins are going to be better next year simply because I think RG3 will be a year healthier.
Can't get much worse, you know?
Well, exactly. Second worst record in the league, second overall pick in the draft.
Right.
They are going to get better, mostly because I think RG3 will be healthier. But their defense has to get a lot better, and I think they have to add a weapon across on Pierre Garçon. They really don't have a number two wide receiver at this point.
All right, guys. Thanks for taking my phone call. And I'm on the Giants next year, man. It has to get better. I'm praying.
All right, Darryl. Appreciate it, pal.
All right, man. Take it easy.
Thanks for calling in. And I like to have the first-time callers. And Darryl, you can check us out on hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter if you want to check it out there. 201-939-4513. Roldy is in Bayshore. Roldy, what's up?
Good morning, John. I'm one of the fans that, you know, that can't wait, you know, for free agency to get here and everything like that. But I have confidence in Jerry Reese, knowing that, you know, the reason why he's taking long with John Beeson, he wants to do it at the Giants number. And I could appreciate that. I don't want us to be the next Pittsburgh Steelers of, you know, this year with the cap situation that they're going through right now. So I can respect what, you know, Jerry Reese is trying to do, is have the our own guys come back at our number. The one thing I'm very excited to do free agency is the guards and the centers, about, you know, especially with their age. They're really young guys, you know, like the youngest is what, 26?
Yes, I believe that's correct.
You know, so I'm kind of very excited, you know, with the knowing what they already got experience and with their age. You know, I'm kind of excited about that. Now, I know, you know, there's speculations about, you know, Ben Tate, you know, Giants are looking at him. I mean, I like him, but at the same time, I feel like he's going to be demanding more money to the point where I don't even think the Giants should go after. You know, I know a lot of Giants fans wants the Giants to go after a big name, sexy player, but at the same time, I think Ben Tate is going to be asking for a lot of money where you could get, you know, your guy that you like, you know, Rashard Jennings, which I also like too, you know, for, at a good price. Would you agree on that?
Oh, I mean, I'm not sure how much the price difference is going to be honest with you, between Jennings and Tate. I could see them getting similar contracts.
But same, like what, at a fair number or at a crazy number?
Jennings and Tate. I mean, you would hope you can get them somewhere at 4 years between 15 and 20, somewhere in that area.
Okay.
Give or take?
I mean, okay, what do you think the Giants are leaning towards more? Do you have any idea? Like, is it Ben Tate, Rashard Jennings?
Honestly, I'm not sure which guy in the front office the team favors. I don't have any of that information, to be quite honest with you. I think they'll look at both guys, and they're different types of backs. You know, Tate's the bigger guy. He's more your between-the-tackles guy. But he's also a guy that's only played in that zone stretch scheme that they ran up at Houston, you know, Shanahan/Kubiak's offense. So I'm not sure how he would fit into what Ben McAdoo is going to do here. Heck, we don't even know what Ben McAdoo is going to do here. While, you know, Jennings is a much better receiver out of the backfield, I think Tate's a better pass protector from what I understand. So both guys have had some injury issues. So there are some similarities. There are some differences. I think the Giants will look at both, and we'll see which guy they like better.
Perfect. Now, before I go, the one thing, you know, I was thinking about is, like, you know, with so much holes that we have, especially, you know, mainly on the offensive line, you know, thank God it's not the tackle position. Could you imagine that, you know, because I know, you know, we're going to have to spend money on the offensive lineman through free agency, but mainly the guard and center position. But could you imagine if it was the tackles, where we would have to spend more money with all the holes that we have to try to fix the tackle position? So I'm kind of happy, not happy, but I'm glad it's not the tackle position that we really have to worry about. I know Giants fans are going to say, wait, what about Will Beatty? I know he had a bad year, but I'm sure he's going to have a bounce-back year for next year, and I'm happy that the tackle position is already solidified. And hopefully we could add some, you know, one or two good offensive interior guys in through free agency. Thanks for taking my call, John. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Roldy. You know, and we hope that the offensive tackle position is secure. You know, you would think that Will Beattie's going to bounce back, have a better year. You'd think that Pugh's going to be really good at right tackle again. I think that's a sure thing. I'm not worried about Justin Pugh. But to say I'm 100% confident William Beattie's going to bounce back and be the 2012 Will Beattie, I don't know that. How much is the leg injury going to set back his offseason conditioning? Before his injury last year, he played terribly. Gave him more sacks than any other offensive lineman in the NFL. That's a problem. And there's no shortage of pass rushers in the NFC East either. Whether it's Connor Barwin on the Eagles, Trent Cole on the Eagles, Brian Arakpo, who more likely than not will be back in Washington. Then, of course, you have DeMarcus Ware if the Cowboys figure out a way to bring him back. Maybe they figure out a way to bring back Anthony Spencer, too, coming off that knee injury. So Will Beattie better be better next year. He better be. Oh, that's right, because you know what else? The Giants are playing the NFC West next year. Aldon Smith, ladies and gentlemen. The array of young and talented pass rushers on the St. Louis Rams. Mr. Quinn. The Arizona Cardinals know how to bring the heat. We'll see if Michael Bennett is back with Seattle. We know about their pass rush. So there's going to be no shortage of pass rushers coming after Eli Manning. And Will Beattie better have a bounce back year. Or this offense could very well struggle again. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Charles down in North Carolina. He's been holding the longest. Charles, what's up?
Hey, guys. I like the Jackson signing. It kind of gives us a barometer of where we are with Beason.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
I think Beason's going to get somewhere between $4 and $5 million, man. The Quill has a better injury history than Beason, so we got to take that into account. And I know Beason's representing himself. He don't have an agent. So hopefully, man, he could see this where the market's going to pretty much be for someone his age. I think they're a year apart in age and maybe a couple years. And, hopefully we can get that guy in the contract before Tuesday hit. I really don't want to see Beason hit the open market. But as far as with Jamil McClain from the Ravens, I think he's an upgrade at this point. Is he going to wow you? No. Is he a Beason? No. We can stick him on the outside, and he's healthy. I think he's an upgrade over what we've had over there. If it was Rivers or Pace Singer, I think he's an upgrade over those guys, and I would welcome that at the right price. Maybe a $2 million a year guy, $3 million a year guy. If we can't get him for that, I wouldn't touch him. Like you said, he's not going to wow you. He's not going to go around and make a bunch of big plays, but he is solid.
Charles, I will say this. It would be difficult if you bring in somebody new that it wouldn't be an upgrade at one of the two outside linebacker positions based on how that group played last year.
I like Pace Singer's progression, but, Rivers was highly inconsistent. Pace Singer was too. The other guy,
Jaquan,
he was very inconsistent as well, Jaquan Williams. So, if we can sign Jamil McClain at the right price, put him on the outside, and still get Beason, man, that right there is heading in the right direction going into this free agency. And I kind of agree with you, man. I can't believe I'm agreeing with you, John. But I looked at this thing over the last week and a half.
What's wrong with agreeing with me? I think it's great when you guys agree with me. What the hell?
But, man, I like the prospect of us getting that tight end, man, Ebron. I see your logic now, and I really had to go in and look at it, man, because I'm like your last caller said, I really don't want a rookie left tackle going up against a potentially Ware, a Arakpo, Trent Cole, all these guys that's in the NFC East. I don't know if I want a rookie out there this year. And to be quite honest, man, I think William Beattie deserves a reset button. I've been saying that all season. I think he deserves another chance under this new scheme. I really don't want to move Pugh because he had a great season as a rookie at right tackle. Let's leave him there. He showed he could play the position, and he's only going to get better. I want to deal with these interior guys in free agency, and maybe, like you said, get that tight end in the first round. That's going to change this team
a lot getting that playmaker, man. He, that guy is a definite playmaker. And then we can go O-line, you know, second round, third round. The draft is so deep. We can, you know, we can find those guys if we want to plug in a rookie or plug in somebody, you know, somebody young on that O-line as well. But, you know, through the later rounds of the draft. But hopefully we can get a guard or two in free agency and, you know, go from there. But I would like to see Beatty and P-State to tackle positions, man. We done gave Beatty all that money. We might as well go ahead and give him one more year to see what he can do. I mean, you know,
You, well, you don't have a choice, Charles. I mean, salary cap-wise, you can't let him go now. There's going to be way too much dead money being put on the cap. So you have Volpe here for at least one more year, and you have to give him a chance to bounce back, and you hope he does.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, look, we're in a real good position right now. I think eventually we are going to – it may even happen this weekend. I think we are going to extend roll to free up a little bit more money. I think we got a good chance of getting Jamil McClain. I think you know, we got a good opportunity to maybe get him. So like I said, we can get him for $2 or $3 million. I'd be happy with that. I think we'll end up cutting Kiwanuka and you know, going in a different direction in that D line as well. You know, hey, what you think about Tuck coming back, man? What you think about that? Do you see what's the prospects of that happen?
I think Justin Tuck will be here next year. I think he'll get out there. You know, I don't think somebody's going to break the bank for Justin Tuck. So I believe in the end he'll end up coming back here for a very reasonable contract. You know, something in the, you know, 3-year, $10 to $12 million type of area.
Okay. Do you see any DNs that you know could probably come in from free agency? I think we'll be priced out of Bennett and you know, some of those other high profile guys. But do you see any like mid level guys that you could, you know, that you might see us going after in free agency that can you know, maybe join the rotation
at defensive end specifically or defensive line?
Defensive end.
Defensive end. All right, let me take a look at some of the defensive end in free agency. See if I can come up with a name for you, Charles. Again, there are a lot of guys that are going to make a lot of money that are out there. You know, the Lamar Houstons of the world, the Greg Hardys of the world who signed this tender, things like that. Let me see. Do I see any names here that look?
Well, why are you looking?
Philip Hunt.
Right?
Philip Hunt is a guy who played for Philadelphia last year. He was a situational pass rusher for them as a now 3-4 defense. I don't think he has quite as good of a fit in Philadelphia. I could see him being a type of low-cost situational pass rusher. Let's see. Rob Jackson was a 3-4 the outside linebacker.
Let me ask you this, John. Why are you looking it up? Let me ask you this. Let's say DeMarcus Ware gets released. It's looking like that's going to happen.
I honestly don't think DeMarcus Ware is going to get released. I think he will eventually take a pay cut. Not a huge one, but I think they'll get his contract down to about $8 million a year. I think it's sitting around 13 now. I think they can get him down to about $8 million per year.
Let's say he does. Let's just say I'm playing devil's advocate. Let's say he does get released.
Yeah.
Where do you think his market's going to be on the free agent? What do you think his price?
I think he'll get around what Terrell Suggs got. I think he can get a 3-year, $25 million contract.
So he'll get about $6-7 a year?
I think around $8 million.
About $8 million. Okay. Well, hey, I don't tie up your phone line long enough, man.
Thanks, Charles.
I'll be chatting with you.
Appreciate it, bud. I always like to hear from Charles North Carolina. Always comes up with some very good stuff. 201-939-4513. Montrell's down in Miami. I haven't heard from Montrell in quite a while. What's going on, dude?
Hey, how are you, John? Surprised you remember me.
What's going on, man? How you been?
Good. Great. I have a question. Defensive back.
Yeah.
I think we kind of overlooking defensive back. We don't have that many corners on the roster.
Yeah, right now on the roster, Montrell, you got Prince, Hosley, and Charles James, and that's it.
Yeah, you know, that's not good. As far as free agency, well, first, I'm going to say first round. If we can't sign this guy, Justin Gilbert from Oklahoma State, where do we go? Do we grab one of the younger guys from out of free agency? And from what I've been looking at, I think those guys want to generate a lot of money. And the other guys in free agency are pretty older guys, maybe in a 31, 32, 33 guys age range. Where do we go? Do we spend the money on a young guy if we can't get Gilbert? Do we spend the money on a young guy in free agency? Or what do you think?
I think you would bring in a more of a veteran middle of the road free agency to be a stopgap until you can draft the next young corner that will be your guy for a longer period of time. So I'm talking about a Sam Shields type of player, somebody like that who you can put in there. He'll do a nice, solid job this year. He's a starting NFL cornerback. He's your perfect, big, physical number two corner, and I think that's what you do in the interim until you have a chance to find that next big corner in the draft.
Okay, actually, I love Sam Shields, big-time University of Miami fan. Also, John Beeson. Don't get me wrong, I'm from Miami. I love John Beeson. It worries me. I don't know his injury history. Do you think we have a chance to actually sign Carlos Dansby? I know he's about, 31, 32, but the guy plays pretty well.
Yeah, he's 32 years old. He played really well last year when he signed that one-year deal late in free agency. He is a little bit older. I mean, if Beeson doesn't work out and the Giants lose him, I think they'd be wise to look at a guy like Dansby as a stopgap, the same way I kind of talked about a corner. You bring in that stopgap guy to be your middle linebacker for a couple years until you find somebody else to come in and take that spot long term. I think they'd look at him. But I think after being very disappointed in what he got in free agency last year, I think Carlos Dansby is hoping to cash in one last time, and we'll see if he's able to do it. If he's sitting there on, May 1st, without a team, or June 1st without a team, then maybe you can try to figure something out on a 1 or 2 year deal.
Okay, great. Okay, thank you for my call.
Hey, I appreciate the call. Thanks, Montrell. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Len in Columbia, Maryland. Len, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, John, how you doing this morning?
Doing well, Len. What's going on?
Good. Okay, well, my topic this morning, I wanted to talk a little capology.
Oh, boy.
And
get out your calculators, folks.
Well, we're not going to do too many names and too many numbers. I just tell you, with a little rounding, here's what I came out with, John. I see 23 players, 10 of whom are currently on the roster, three free agents, Beeson and Tuck. That takes us to 15. Seven draft choices and one undrafted free agent, taking us to somewhere around $96 to $98 million. I can be off $1 million, obviously. The point I'm trying to make with this is there's not a whole lot of money left over for another 30 guys on opening day. I mean, it's really going to be the rich, it's really going to be a class system, John, where there's going to be people at the top who are making a lot of money. And the other point I wanted to try to make with regard to Linville,
yeah.
I really don't think he's in the Giants' plans. I mean, I'm convinced at this point he's not. I'm not sure what the reason is, but that's okay. They know more than I do. But the point I want to make is, if we restructure Eli now, and I understand all the arguments against doing it now, if we restructure Eli now, and if one of the previous callers, as one of the previous callers suggested, we restructure role. John, we can fit Linville in. I just don't think, I think the Giants have just gone past Linville. And again, with Big Hank, and this is the way the game is played, you get the younger guys, the cheaper players, very few guys on second contracts. That's how the NFL works now. But I think we could, if we wanted to, with the restructuring, I think we could fit Linville in. I'm leaning toward a big corner, just like you are. Hopefully Gilbert is there, like the previous caller said. If your assessment of the Eagles' offense is correct, as you did it yesterday, when you finished running through the names, you said, phew, that's a lot of offensive talent. And indeed it is. And we could say the same thing about Dallas, and we could say the same thing about the Redskins.
Yep.
We got to stop those offenses. And even playing the NFC West, we got to stop those offenses.
You need corners.
So I'm leaning, and Denard. I'm partial toward Denard. Gilbert's bigger, I know.
Not
I'm
much.
Partial toward Denard, because I tell you, I like that Michigan State defense. I like that coaching staff. I like that defensive coordinator. It's not going to be too long before that head coach and that defensive coordinator are working in the NFL. those are some brilliant guys who can motivate some players, and I think Denard is, you know, Denard is part of that.
You know, and Len, just for the record, Darquez Denard is not that much smaller than Gilbert. I mean, I got to look at their combine numbers, but the numbers I have in front of me, Denard, came in at 5'11", 199, Gilbert 6', 202. So, I mean, it's not like these guys are sitting there with huge differences
right.
in their measurements.
Right. But it's hard to ignore that speed, John.
No, it is. I don't disagree with that at all.
You know, on Gilbert's side. And I like, you know, although Denard was too, I like, you know, I like seniors. I don't, you know, too many guys are coming out, you know, after third year, you know, sophomores. And they're coming out in the draft. I mean, over 100 guys. You can't get a read on these guys. I like people who have hung around for 4 years and, you know, contributed and are ascending, like indeed Gilbert is. Hey, one more point. I know Michael disagreed with me yesterday, and I certainly respect his opinion on Chris Snead. You know, I was getting into the loyalty angle. In my opinion, John, no way does Chris Snead get released from the New York Football Giants.
Well, you're assuming he's healthy.
They're going to convince him. If they bring him back at less money, he's going to have a shot at making this roster.
No, and I agree with that. But what happens if he, like, misses two or three preseason games with injuries? He shows he can't stay on the field. He can't practice every day. That's the only situation that I could see where they cut him.
I think he retires.
Okay, that's fine.
The Giants will work hard to convince. They don't want to cut Chris Smith.
I'll buy that.
I mean, this is, you know, I mean, these are. You know, loyalty goes a long way, John. I know, you know, Michael didn't like that word yesterday. He didn't like me using it in reference to it. I mean, this team, they're just not going to cut Snead. Even if he's hurt. You know what they do with him, John, if he can't play?
The
they
IR?
Give him a severance contract.
Yeah.
They put him on IR, and they pay him for the year. And then next year, Chris retires. No way do they get attached to a Chris Snead release.
All right,
hey,
Len.
John, thanks for taking him. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
You know what? I think Len makes a pretty good point. If Chris Snead goes to the point where he restructures his deal and he gets down, I agree. I don't think the Giants end up cutting him. I think Snead would just retire. It's semantics, really. I mean, what's the difference? He's not on the team anymore. That's the way I put it. I could see a situation where Chris Snead doesn't show he's healthy enough to make the team, but no, I don't think the Giants would ever actually cut him. I think Snead would retire. Or they'd IR him and do the injury settlement and then he'd retire after the year. Len, I agree. Back to the phones at 201-939-4513. We're going to Tim in Minneapolis. Tim, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, man?
How are you?
I'm all right. Just took a quick break from work to try to chime in real fast.
Very good. What do you got?
First of all, I want to comment on what Len just said about Chris Snead. He's only on the team because he's Tom Coughlin's son-in-law.
Well, look, last year Snead was hurt. I get that. But until last season, Chris Snead was one of the better guards in the league. He was a guy that was on the Pro Bowl roster almost annually. Until he, you know, had these serious hip injuries, Chris Snead was probably the best offensive lineman on the team. So, I mean, let's not forget how good Chris Snead was when he was healthy.
I agree with you. But on the same note, it's kind of like, you know, when a guy starts getting, like, perpetually injured, you know, it's like, okay, loyalty, he got his loyalty last year. But if he can't produce this year, there's no way I condone him taking up a roster spot, taking up $5 of our salary cap, if he's never going to see the field and actually be a contributor. But that's neither here nor there.
No, Tim, I hear you. But just one thing real quick. Remember, the Giants are going to have to pay him the $4.5 million of the guaranteed money that he has left over from his prorated signing bonus, whether he's on the team or not. So that $4.5 million is going to Chris Snead no matter what.
Well, in that case, then, since you put it like that, I guess keep him around because there's no point in paying a dude $4 million that's you know, has no chance of playing for you at all.
But, Tim, I agree 100%. If he shows in training camp that he can't play and he's hurt too much, you're right. He should not be taking up a roster spot. That I agree 100%.
Okay. Glad to see we meet eye to eye on that. I just got a couple. Been doing a little free agency, you know, scouting around myself, and I just wanted to run a couple names past you.
Bring it.
I like the Carlos Dansby direction that some of the other fans are going in. I'm totally behind that. But I was thinking, how would you feel like? Okay, let's say we don't get Beeson.
Okay.
What do you think about Brandon Spikes?
I think Brandon Spikes is a guy you look at. I think he brings a lot of the same stuff Beeson does on the field. He's a very good run defender. Now, he can't defend the pass a lick, but then again, neither can Beeson, and that's fine. The only issue you have with Spikes is that he seemed to have a bit of a falling out with Belichick, and I worry about guys that can't play under Belichick, considering, you know, him and Tom Coughlin in a lot of ways are very similar. So I worry about that a little bit. But in terms of a talent on the field as a run defender, I think Brandon Spikes is a very good player.
Yep. And I've been looking at the corners or whatever. I'm thinking like, okay, Aqib Talib, I don't think he's gonna get out of New England.
Honestly, I don't like him. I think he's way too inconsistent. He gets hurt too much. So even if he does, I wouldn't want him on the Giants.
But what do you think? I knew you were going to say that. What would you think about Browner from Seattle if we could get him at the right price, ERC or even Cortland Finnegan?
I think Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie will cost way too much money. I think he's going to be one of the highest paid corners. He had a very good year last year. Cortland Finnegan.
But he is talking about that. Oh, I'm not sure if I still want to, like, you know, just coming from the stuff that he's kind of already shot in his up in the foot. Like, a team's not going to give you a long-term deal if you're already coming out, you know what I'm saying that you're not sure how much longer you want to play, but we're sure you got at least one more year in you, right?
Yeah, I
okay,
mean,
we'll
I mean,
give you a one-year contract.
DRC is just 28 years old. He's still in his prime. So, I mean, honestly, if he got a 4 or 5 year contract from someone, it wouldn't shock me.
Yeah.
As for the other two guys you mentioned, I would worry about Brandon Browner for a couple reasons. One, there wasn't a significant drop-off for Seattle's defense when Browner got hurt last year. They replaced him with a rookie sixth-round pick, and the defense looked exactly the same. So that makes me wonder, was Browner ever a dominant cornerback, or was it simply the system that he performed in that made him play very well?
Or the fact that nobody wants to throw at Sherman.
Right, well, yeah.
That made you look really good.
Yeah, seriously, that too. And number two, this guy's got busted for PEDs now twice. You know?
Oh, yeah.
So if he gets busted again, you lose him for a whole season. And even to me, a more important point, if he stops using now after he gets his big contract, maybe he's not going to be the same player. If this guy was juicing and he stops juicing, how do you know he's going to be the same type of player he was before?
You don't.
Yeah, exactly. So I would worry about that a little bit. Exactly. 100%. Thanks, Tim.
And I got one more thing.
Yeah, sure.
What do you think about Asante Samuel? As far as a stopgap, yeah, I can see him coming in and being like a R.W. McQuarters type, you know, Sam Madison type guy. You know what I mean? Like a veteran come in, maybe play a little nickel for us. Even slide over, be on the other side of Amukamara maybe for like a year or two.
I see where you're going with him. I do. But to me, he's 33 years old. I think Asante Samuel for me would fall into that over-the-hill category. I know he actually played decently well last year with Atlanta. He had an okay year. I'm just not sure how much he has left in the tank. So I think he's a little bit too old for me. I would not sign a corner that's, you know, over 31 years old. I think that's when they really start to slow down, and that's when you have to start worrying about them. If I try to target one of these mid-level veterans, I'm looking for a 28-year-old, a 29-year-old, someone in that range, 30 at the oldest, you know, so you don't get somebody on the downside of his career, but you're paying him like he's still in his prime. You know what I'm saying, Tim?
Right. And just one more thing, and I'm going to take it off the air. our running back situation. It really bothers me when I think about it. And because and I'm like, okay, we got this guy from Green Bay. I know that our running backs want to be more involved in the passing game. I just want to know how would you feel about this. Darren McFadden, I know you're going to say the injury risk, this, that, and other. I'm agreeing with you before you even say that.
Okay.
But what about Gerhardt from Minnesota? He could give us kind of like that old school like smash mouth, and he's a good pass catcher out the backfield. So just wanted to see what you thought about a few of those names, and I'll take the rest of your answers off the air.
All right, Tim. Thanks, man. And I would say what you predicted. What I would say about Darren McFadden, exactly what I will say about Darren McFadden. I want no part of him. He's a hamstring pull waiting to happen. The Giants have enough hamstring injuries. I don't need three more every year out of Darren McFadden. No, thank you. Pass. Pass, 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 pass. No. 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 Now, as for the running back position in general, Toby Gerhardt, and I know I'm surprised. There's a little faction of Giant fans, and it seems to be growing, that's thinking, you know what, if we can't spend a lot of money on a running back, how about that Toby Gerhardt? Somewhere Mike Farmer on Twitter's head is going to explode. Not a Toby Gerhardt fan. And here's how I land on Toby Gerhardt, okay? I do not believe you can go into next season saying, Toby, you're going to be our number one back. We're giving you 15 carries a game. Sorry, he hasn't shown me enough in the NFL where he can be that guy. Now, if on the other hand, the Giants go to a true, like, three-headed monster type of backfield, like the Saints do, for example, with Pierre Thomas, you know, their plethora of other guys, Darren Sproles, you know, Mark Ingram, whoever their rookie was last year, Kirby Robinson, was that his name, I think, something like that? Whoever it is. Now, the Saints use three or four backs, and they use all the guys. If the Giants want to go in that direction, even to a lesser extent the Packers, they like to rotate between their backs until they got Eddie Lacy and he really kind of took control last year. But if the Giants want to do a true three-headed monster at running back and have David Wilson be your big play guy, have Toby Gerhardt be your pass protector, third down back, receiver out of the backfield, and then you add a third guy to be your, you know, 12 to 16 carry a game guy and be your quote-unquote primary between the tackles running back, I'd be okay with that. That, I think, is a role that Gerhardt would excel at. That coon role with Green Bay. I could see that. But as your 1A running back, not quite. 201-939-4513. I got two calls on the line. We'll take you two guys before we say adios on this Thursday morning on Giants.com. Let's go to Steve in Washington, D.C. Steve-O!
Good morning, John. How you doing, buddy?
I haven't heard from you all week, Steve. How's it going?
Listen, man, I'm on a new job, man. I'm here speaking this phone call. Luckily, my new boss is a Giants fan.
Oh, your new boss is a Giants fan, huh?
Yeah, can you believe that,
nice.
Man? All the jobs in the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area, and I got the boss.
Now,
a Giants
I want
fan.
Your, I want you to get your boss to call into the show. How about that, Steve?
You got it, man. You got it. I'll make it happen. I promise you. All right, listen, John. I don't think you're gonna give me much time with this because I know you're not gonna like how I start this one. But
go ahead.
First of all, I wanted to go piggyback on what Len's saying. You know, I like most people feel like I know another word for loyalty in this case is called nepotism. Period. So, well, I'm gonna leave that alone. I also
now, Steve. In fairness, Steve, if the Giants have Chris Knee take like a $6 million pay cut, is that nepotism?
Listen, you know, look, the thing is that the guy can't even stay on the field. Listen, it's because of our history. We would never, ever keep another player who's been in his situation at his age. Just as it's just a history. I mean, history would, you know, recent history would tell you that much. So, the thing is this. I think the guy, you know, has contributed a lot. He was a good player a long time, but I just don't see at his age and his injury level. I mean, we never really, you know, stay that loyal to anybody. I mean, and what bothers people, it's like when you look at, like, what was my next point, Linville Joseph. I mean, you know, they're making excuses to keep Snee on the roll, on the payroll, but, I mean, we need to be finding ways to keep you know, our reliable players. I mean, it really, really bothers, you know, so many levels. I mean, I know Limbo doesn't jump out off the page of people, but the fact of the matter is the guy has been solid. He's been healthy. He's been a model citizen. I mean, it's just like, why would anybody want to come to the Giants if they can't earn a second contract?
And now, Steve, it's not fair to Linval Joseph, and I'm not saying that it is. But the Giants offense.
It's not fair to the fans either.
But here's why it is fair to the fans. Do you want to show up next year and see the Giants offense stink up the joint like it did all year this year again?
Because Absolutely not.
No, but Steve, that's what's going to happen. If you give Linval Joseph $7 to $8 million a year, you pay Beeson, you pay Tuck, you got no money left. And you're going to be rolling out Reuben Randle as your second wide receiver. Adrian Robinson is going to be your tight end. Drell Jernigan is going to be your third wide receiver. And you're going to have David Boss at center, Chris Knee and Kevin Booth at guard on opening day. Is that what you want?
That's what I'm saying. We need to lighten up that money. We need to go ahead and just pay Knee the money we owe him and cut the losses. We need to cut Boss altogether if possible. You know, that's just my opinion. But the most important part, well, I knew, you know, you're going to disagree because I sent this out on Twitter for 2 days now. That's why I'm sneaking this phone call because you didn't respond. I had to call you out on that, and that is this.
I must have missed it.
Do you think Mr. Eli Manning has played up to his contract in the last 2 years?
No, he hasn't.
Okay. Why are we not talking about cutting his money? Because we certainly, he is nowhere near playing up to $20 million. He needs to done a restructure. He needs to take a pay cut.
No, Steve, hold on. Hold, Steve. Here's how that conversation is going to go. Hey, Eli, do you want to take a pay cut? No. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And the conversation's going to be over. What are you going to do, cut him? You can't cut him?
No, of course not. And I believe that's exactly how it would go, too. But why would we restructure a guy who knows he's not playing up to the thing if he doesn't want to help the team? We would be talking so bad about everybody else. It's about helping the team. Here's what bothers me. I mean, we know what Eli can do, you know, when he has the pieces around him, but he hasn't done it the last couple of years. He's not really a leader, so we need to find a whole nother leader on the offense because, you know, he's the silent leader or whatever you want to do, but he's not even playing up to his leadership role. So to me, it's just like you have to spend, you know, spending the money is like a chess game. He's just not living up to his piece. And if he doesn't want to take a pay cut, there's no way in the world we should extend him. No way in the world. We want people who are going to be team players. He knows he hasn't played up to his contract, and he should be taking a pay cut to help the team. I mean, everybody else is expected to do that when it's their time, but we don't want to hold him up to that standard. Fine, I agree with you. I don't think he will either. But
wait, Steve, in fairness, the last 2 years, there are a couple of Giants that haven't played up to their contracts, and they haven't taken pay cuts either.
Name me two.
up until last year, do you think Anchorola was worth an $8 million cap hit?
Up until last year, no. I mean, the year before that, he had down. But I think it's hard for me to say because we really, our defense, we were so injured on, you know, in the defensive backfield. It's just kind of hard to say. So I'll give you that, though. I can see that. Give me one more, please.
Before last year, well, let me think. Corey Webster took one last year. He's a bad example. Let me think.
Oh, my God, yeah.
David Boss. Do you think David Boss lived up to his contract heading into last year?
No, I never wanted to give him that money to begin with.
Well, that's fine, but he didn't take a pay cut.
We had to. We had no choice because we gave him so much money.
Here's how the process works, and this is important for all the fans out there. Here's how it works. The only way you can convince a player to take a pay cut is if you're realistically willing to release him. If you're unwilling, deep down, to cut a player and let him go, there is no reason for that player to take a pay cut. That's why I think the Dallas Cowboys will eventually be able to get DeMarcus Ware to take a pay cut. Because when push comes to shove, I think the Cowboys would actually let him go and cut him if he refuses to take a pay cut. There's no way the Giants would have cut Antrell Roll. There's no way the Giants will cut Eli Manning. And that's why those guys will be unwilling to take a pay cut.
I agree with you, but you have seen other top-notch quarterbacks take pay cuts to keep their best players. And that's why I think Eli could start leading by volunteering. and taking a pay cut, because other elite quarterbacks have done that, and I'm not even going to put him in that class with elite right now. So I'm going to leave that alone, John. Your point is very well taken. I do understand what you're saying, and I do believe, like you're saying, that Ware is going to end up just taking a pay cut anyway. But as a leader of the team, the quarterback, he ought to be the first one saying, hey, look, cut my money. He's making too much money. He's never going to spend all that money anyway.
You know, Steve, in fairness, no other top quarterback has taken a pay cut. Tom Brady signed a contract extension. There was no pay cut involved.
Right. Okay, you're right. I got what you're saying. You're absolutely right. All right, last thing I want to touch on, John, is the linebackers. Now, you know, I am, the more and more I think about it, which I feel like I was the first person to kind of say this, I just really worried about risking spending too much money on DC. And I want to know two questions. Number one is, not even about the money, how long of a contract do we give a guy like DC?
I think you give him probably in total a 4-year deal, but...
Oh, God,
but,
no. See, that's
but,
why we can't talk.
But I think you set the contract up where you have an easy out after two, where, you know, you set it up where he gets all his guaranteed money in the first 2 years, Steve. So then if after 2 years you see that, you know, oh, he's, you know, he's hurt again, he's regressing, there's an easy way to let him go without really taking a salary cap hit. You know what I mean?
So,
that's how I think you set it up.
So we basically agree that he's not necessarily a long-term solution.
I mean, I think he could be, but I think there's a good chance that he's not because of his injury history.
That's why I'm more comfortable with bringing a Carlos Dansby in. I think Paisinger is going to have an even better year anyway. I thought he came on at the end of last year.
Remember, Dansby's older than Beeson, Steve.
I said Paisinger.
Okay, well, you said Dansby first.
I know Dansby is older than him, but I'm saying I would rather bring in a Jamil McClain and an Anna Dansby and keep them since we have Paisinger as opposed to risking it on Beeson, because I just don't feel like, you know, it's in our odds. The favorite, you know, it's going to be in our best odds for him staying healthy and being successful. You know, the other 2 points I want to remind people about his game is, you know, I don't see any sacks. We know he can't cover. And I don't see any tackling at the line of scrimmage or behind the line of scrimmage. That bothers me. That really, really bothers me. And, that's all I got, man. John, thanks for taking my call.
Hey, thank
really
you, Steve.
Appreciate it. Great show. I'll talk to you soon, buddy.
Appreciate it. And get your boss on that line, Steve. I want to hear from Steve's boss. Talk some Giants. Talk about getting Steve a raise. by the way, Mike Farmer corrected me on Twitter. I'm a bad memory on my part. He supports the Kobe Gerhardt signing. My bad, Mike. Sorry, didn't mean to throw you in there. That's my bad. Let's see. Wow, I have 20 new Giants chat tweets off that Eli taking a pay cut comment from Steve. Let's see what I got here. Let's see. Stu DiMeglio, John, that's all you can come up with Roland Boss. Boss needs to be cut, be fair, and stop making excuses. Roll might take a pay cut. No, Stu, it's not me a matter of naming guys that haven't taken pay cuts. Name the guys that have taken pay cuts. All right? Have you seen Justin Tuck take a pay cut? Did you see OCU Manura take a pay cut when he was here at the end of his contract when he couldn't stop the run of his life depended on it? No, he wanted more money. The Giants actually had to, you know, redo his contract to pay him more in the last couple years of that deal. Besides Corey Webster and now eventually Christie this year, the Giants haven't gotten their players to take pay cuts. That's not how it works, folks. You can't just tell a player, we're giving you a pay cut, he's going to say, okay, sure, I'll take less money for no reason. Think that's how the world works? No. The only way you convince a player to take a pay cut is if you are willing to cut them. Okay? So the player says to themselves, I'm going to get more money by taking this pay cut and staying with the team, then I will get on the open market. Eli, I'll round the number. Let's say it's $20 million this year. You say, Eli, we only want to pay you $8 million, or we're going to cut you. You know what Eli's going to say? Bye-bye. Cut me. Because if I go to the free agent market, guess what? I'm going to get a $17 million contract, and I'm going to make more in free agency than I'm going to get after I take your stupid pay cut. So that's not going to happen. These guys don't just take pay cuts out of the goodness of their hearts, folks. It doesn't happen. Did you see the money Jay Cutler just got in free agency? Do you think that's good to help the Bears win? I don't think so. You know, Peyton coming off neck surgery, did he go sign with the Broncos for some discounted rate? Hell no. He signed for $20 million a year. All right? That's not how the world works. It's great to say, all right, it's time. Take a pay cut. Get him to take a pay cut. The player's going to tell you to go to hell. I'm not taking a pay cut. Then cut me. And no, Anchorol's not taking a pay cut this year, Stu. If you get Anchorol's cap number down, it's going to be through a contract extension, not through a pay cut. Do you know why? If Anchorol gets cut, he's going to get signed in about 3.5 seconds for just as much money as he's making with the Giants now. So why would he take a pay cut? The guys you get to take pay cuts are the ones that are veterans getting towards the end of their contracts that don't perform up to the value of their contract, and when push comes to shove, you're willing to lose. And the Giants are not willing to lose Eli Manning, therefore he will not accept a pay cut. He knows that. His agent knows that. All right? I'll go through the rest of these in a second. 201-939-4513. Back to the phones. Junior's in Mount Laurel, New Jersey. Junior, what's up?
Hey, how you doing, John?
What's
first
up?
Time.
Thanks, Junior.
Don't beat me up too good.
Nah, never, Junior. What do you got for me?
Listen, first of all, that last guy, Steve, that called, that was absolutely absurd. Eli may not be an elite quarterback, but he is a franchise quarterback. And you're not going to take a pay cut if you're a franchise quarterback.
No, Junior,
period.
And I agree. And look, and I'm not saying you should extend Eli either and give him a contract extension off of, you know, a year and a half of, you know, not so great football. But at the same time, he's not taking a pay cut. It's not going to happen.
Absolutely not. And you know what? He's done what he could do last year. He was horrendous. There's no doubt. It wasn't all his fault, but he played horrendous at times.
Correct.
And receivers didn't help at all either.
I agree, or the offensive line for that matter. All those things were factors, no question.
That's what I'm getting to now. Personally, the offensive line, obviously, everybody knows they play like garbage, but Will Beatty is not a left tackle. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care how much they signed him for. I know they're not going to cut him, but he can't play left tackle. He's one of those smaller, athletic left tackle, tackles, I should say, and he can't handle it. He got manhandled. He got abused last year. And there's no way that you could put him back there again. You may give him a shot in training camp, but
where do you want to put him?
You got to move him to a guard.
Now, unfortunately, I'm not sure. Look, I think there's a better shot of moving him to the right side if you want to do that eventually. But I don't think he has the strength and power to play guard, and I think because of that, he'd even struggle at right tackle with, you know, some of the power rushers that are out there. Beatty is built physically in terms of his feet and his athleticism and his quickness to be a left tackle, and he was a very good left tackle, especially in pass protection in 2012 and in 2011 until he got hurt. So I think they'll give him one more shot at left tackle, and frankly, they won't even give him the whole year. If they get through 4 or 5 weeks here and he's struggling, I think they'll make a move and they'll get him out of there. But just because he signed that huge contract last year and the salary cap will not allow you to get rid of him now, there's too much dead money on his contract, I think you're pretty much stuck with him and giving him a shot and giving him one more year to rebound and play better in that spot. I don't think you have much of a choice to do otherwise.
I mean, but you know, the only reason why I say it is because he's just to move Boss and Snead out of there, you obviously have to put somebody back in there. And Kevin Booth, to re-sign Kevin Booth, I think you have to do him short deal or you know, at least 3-year deal and get him maybe to play center and then slide in to draft maybe LaWant Taylor or the kid from Michigan and slide people over because this is, you know, and obviously sign and draft a free agent like Asamoah from Kansas City. I don't even know if I'm saying his name right.
Yeah, you got it right.
Actually, the two guys, they got two guards.
Yeah,
Jeff Kansas
Schwartz
City.
and Tyler, I think it's Tyler Asamoah.
Yeah, they're both relatively young. They can come in and just play and just play. I think they need to draft a tackle in the first round and or at least second round, and then sign a free agent guard.
I'm with you. I think you need to bring in two free agents on the interior in free agency, and I think you need to draft somebody, a young guy, maybe not in round one, but maybe in rounds two or three to help supplement that. I'm with you. And look, if you really believe that Beattie's through and you can't depend on him in a left tackle and you want to take a tackle in the first round to replace him and you really believe that, I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, he just got manhandled last year, and it was embarrassing to watch, especially living down here in Eagle Country. It was a joke.
All right, Junior, thanks for the call, buddy. Good job.
Appreciate it, John. Thank you.
Anytime, man. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Gabriel in Manhattan, our final call of the show. Gabriel, what's going on?
Yeah, what's up, bro?
Good to have somebody local in Manhattan calling, baby. We got a New Yorker. We like that. What do you got for
me? Yeah, I listen in a lot, but I usually never call in. But this free agency and this draft, I got to call in because a lot of people are saying a bunch of different stuff, and some of it's really not making a lot of sense. But, and like you guys said, Eli's in the prime of his career and wants to win some chips now, but about the offensive line, like you said, we only need about two free agents and maybe draft a tackle or something that will be good. But more on the defense, there's so many DBs and a few linebackers, free agents. I really want to see Sam Shields or Vontae Davis get signed to our team, or somebody who has done something in his career and I feel like can make our team better. Cause
I agree.
Well, we're only a few players on the offense from a great offense, because we only did it with Victor Cruz and Mario Manningham. And before that, David Tyree. And the Giants haven't had a superstar player since I don't remember on the offense. Like, we never had a superstar, really.
Well, you know what? In fairness, I think when Nix was in his prime and, you know, Cruz was in his prime together, I think those two guys were star wide receivers, to be fair.
Yeah. Like your boy said from that website with all the stats, like Hakeem Nix in the playoffs was one of the best wide receiver stats, like,
yeah,
since, like, I don't know when. But, yeah, Victor Cruz, too. Like, don't get me wrong. He's one of the best, I'd say, top 10 wide receivers, maybe top 5 wide receivers in the league. But we don't get crazy free agents or draft number one, because we never have a number one draft pick. But yeah, like, I really hope Jerry does something good, because I'm tired of the way we've been looking lately. It's like sad.
No, I'm with you. And look, they're gonna have to get a lot better, Gabriel. I appreciate the call, man.
All right, thanks a lot.
Have a good one. Hey, I'll talk to you soon, Gabriel. Thank you. And look, we all know they have to do a lot of work here. The Giants have to do a lot of work. We know that. And they're going to be busy. They're going to do a lot of stuff. But, look, we're going to have to be a little patient, folks. But I like your idea, Gabriel. I'm with you. I think Sam Shields would be a perfect mid-level free agent guy. He's physical. He's big. He presses. I think he'd be a guy that fits well. That would be one of my targets in terms of a free agent corner. I think it fits a lot. And one of the guys Pete Tomalatis mentioned last week from Pro Football Focus, that's who Gabriel was talking about, was Captain Munnerlyn. You know, not the biggest guy in the world, but he could be your slot corner if you're the Giants next year. If you don't want to bring back Terrell Thomas because of the knee, you're worried about him, and you want to bring in a slot guy, Munnerlyn's a guy that could be a good slot corner for you if you want to go in that direction. Everybody, excellent job on the phones. Excellent job on Twitter. I'm looking at a lot of stuff here. Let's see. Guys talk a couple questions about Eli, how he said last year he was willing to restructure to bring back Cruz. And look, Eli would be willing to restructure this year too, but here's the problem. He only has 2 years left on his contract, this year and next year. And he is a $20 million cap hit both years, okay? So if you make Eli just restructure without an extension, you're basically going to turn next year's $20 million cap hit into a $30 million cap hit. And then what are you going to do? When next year you have to re-sign Jason Pierre-Paul and Prince Amukamara, and Eli Manning's taking up literally 25% of your cap. You can't do that. So if you want to restructure Eli, you have to do it with the contract extension. That's what Tom Brady did with the Patriots. He signed an extension, you move some money back, you guarantee some more money, and there you go. There you have your solution. And I've said this before, and on this, Steve and I, and I think Stu and I as well, who's on Twitter, are in agreement. I wouldn't give him an extension now. I'd wait a year. And you figure it out next year when he's going into free – before he goes into free agency and see what he does this season with this Giants talent and, their new additions. That's how I would handle it. That's what I would do. And by the way, if you want to keep track of free agency and all the moves, go to Giants.com. We have our free agency page that just launched. It's great. You got your top five guys at each position. I had a hand in picking those guys. We also use some NFL.com list, and it was kind of an aggregate decision. Dan Salamone had a big role in that, so we went through it. It's a good list. It's a good thing to really keep track of free agency and where these guys are going to go. So make sure you go to Giants.com and you check that out. Everybody, excellent job. Thank you very much for joining us. Good job on Twitter. I'll answer some of your questions after the show. And we'll see you tomorrow morning. I'm working on Bob Glauber. If I can't get Bob, if he doesn't get back to me by noon, I will go to Plan B. Got a couple guys that cover the NFL for USA Today. They do a good job on free agency. I'll go there. And we'll see what we can get. I want to try to get a league-wide view of what the market's going to be for some of these positions. And that'll give Giant fans an idea of what they can afford with the resources the Giants have available at their disposal. So we'll talk about that tomorrow on Giants.com. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.